Wonderful song. Dave just sang, Amazing Love. How can it be? Someone as great as Jesus Christ died for you and me. The program this morning inside says, God is not an option. He is a necessity. He is not an option. He is a necessity. The last song Dave sung before we went to class, the Blue Book said, what a wondrous transformation in my life was wrought when I trusted Christ as Savior and His pardon sought. I don't think people of the world can really feel the true emotions that's written out in the Bible for them to really enjoy and have. Seems like they only want to enjoy His love. And that's good enough because His love is going to pardon all of us no matter what, no matter how we live. That's what the world thinks. And I think sometimes we get out of focus even when we try to follow the truth to the best of our ability. And that's what I'd like to focus on this morning. Is letting us as a church be a church that God would be proud of. What is our focus to be when we assemble together each Sunday morning and Wednesday? I think sometimes we get the idea that if we can be here and partake in the Lord's table, we've did our duty. That's not the case, I don't feel. I feel like God wants to see us each and every time He has that opportunity in worshiping and praising His name. And there are three things that I would think very important to God in our life as well as in our assembly together as His church and as His servant. We have the vast amount of churches in this United States in so many ways that we can worship, and people choose to worship God in their assembly together. But what was God's plan for His church? Also, do all these churches and their functions achieve God's central focus for what He wanted as His church? The Lord ordained the church for Himself, and the church's chief function is for us to focus and be individual believers and to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. I'd like to give a few examples about this. The main thought I would like for you to get this morning is the first priority in all of our hearts should be God and Jesus Christ. That is our first and most important priority, is to worship God. The second priority is to focus on ourselves as brothers and sisters and as our families and then to enjoy each other's company. And thirdly is to take the Word of God to the world and to help them to try to enjoy truly what God has in store for them. A few examples on this first priority would be, so God gave each of us a spirit of unity as we follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth, we may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 15:5-6. In Him we were chosen in order that we might be for the praise of His glory. Ephesians 1:11-12. And He is the head of the body, the church, so that in everything He might have the supremacy. Colossians 1:18. and that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you. 2 Thessalonians 1:12. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice in praise. Hebrews 13:15. You are a chosen people that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness and into His wonderful light. 1 Peter 2:9. The church then, as we look at God's church, the church that Christ set up and the example that He set for us in the Word and truth, is to let us be what He asked us to be as a church. Its activities are all determinedly focused on Him and His glory, and hearty praise ascendant continually to Him. So, with these scriptures in mind, we felt like we know God is the first and foremost person that we're here to worship this morning. We're to glorify Him. We're to build each other up in love and to evangelize the world. I feel like I've heard so many complaints and things that are very disturbing to me about things that we can't get over because of our pride. I don't think that's what God would want. He wants us to get along with each other and to keep Him first and foremost in our mind. But as we think about these three functions, the second and third function here will only fall into place when the first is seen to be faithfully practiced as the first step. If we don't love God, and if we don't glorify God, if we don't praise God, how can we praise each other? How can we get along with each other? How can we be the church that God wants for His church? There are many dangers that most churches face. And it's not that they don't do anything. They do plenty. It's that they don't do the right things, what God left to instruct them in His Word and truth. There's a short story about this pilot announces to his passengers, "Ladies and gentlemen, I have good news and I have bad news. The good news is we have a tailwind, and we are making excellent time. The bad news is that our compass is broken, and we have no idea where we are going." It's kind of funny, but it's kind of sad too, isn't it? If you put this scenario to the churches, and I think most churches today would fit into that practice. It seems like most people want to keep everybody happy. So if we bend this little scripture here to fit our purpose, then we can keep this person happy. Does it make God happy? No. I don't know if I heard correctly or not, but when I listened to Roger, Brother Roger from the Philippines Wednesday night, he put together some pretty putting examples of how if they don't follow the Bible, then drastic measures are taken towards them individuals, such as divorces and the like. We're not to put down these people, because we need to honor anybody that's trying to serve God. And I think we should do our best to help set them on the right course as well as ourselves by studying the scriptures together. And if we study the scriptures together, the more we study the scriptures, the more we have the opportunity to stay on the path God would want us on, because we'll understand the scriptures better. If we don't follow those scriptures, then we are prone to be confused or get confused and to lose our direction, such as this little story just indicated here. We need to realize what God says then when He says, "I am the Almighty God." All possibilities lie in this. I am the Almighty God. He can be trusted. God can be believed. And His promises for His church is absolutely vast. Wouldn't you love to think that we could trust everybody we associate with? We could believe everything everybody tells us. And we could believe every promise that they make us. God can do that. He is the Almighty. The church is equipped with every power to fulfill every objection God has for it. You believe that? I believe that. It's said that a young preacher, he's just getting started in the ministry, and he was asked this question. "You don't expect much to happen in your preaching, do you?" His reply, "Well, no." Then he was told, "Then you won't see much happen either." When we think like this young man, we need to ask God to give us high expectations for us as well as for His church. We need to try to get on the right path. And again, we need to remember our first commitment is to God. Then we are to be committed to one another in Christ. And then we are to be committed to the world Christ died to save. These three priorities must be kept in this order. We must not let our ministry to the world or evangelism and good works come first. We have to praise and glorify God first. We can't let our family and activities and our life come first, or else these priorities will not fit in order. The main priority is God. First comes Christ. If He doesn't come first, we are wasting our time and energy. We must remember the world, though, because Christ died for that world, and He has given them the opportunity, because, like us, remember Christ's death this morning. The same death that is performed here was performed for the world. They have the same opportunities we do. We need to remember Christ's death. And we need to come out of the world and to practice Christ's work. We must work in Christ's church, and we must provide a service to Christ's church. And we must witness to it. These three priorities shine repeatedly from the pages of Scripture. And these are deeply, fundamentally planted in the heart of God. We find these subjects of concern when God's Son prayed to God the Father just before the cross. What did He say in John 17? Remembering God first, us second, and the world third. He said in John 17, Jesus prayed in verses 1 through 5 for His Father's glory and that the Son would also be glorified. Secondly, in verse 6 through 20, He prayed the men you gave me, disciples for their protection and sanctification and for us believers to follow. In verse 21 to the end, he prayed for the world to believe and know the truth. And we find that Jesus commanded these same three priorities in John 15. He says in verse 1 through 11 that we are to abide in him and his love. Verse 12 through 17 commands us to love each other, and it even begins and ends with them same words, that we are to love each other. Verses 18 to the end, he describes our relationship to a hostile world, and he says, we are to witness to it when the Holy Spirit is given to us. So it's Christ first, one another in Christ second, and the world third. These loves and these commitments are right for every individual. These three things are right for every family and every small church. And these three loves to Christ and to believers and to the world are right for every married couple and every small group. We must love the church and serve it. We don't just come to listen to an exhortation or to do the Lord's table, to participate in class. We come because we love the Lord and we want to worship and praise him and to fellowship and help each other grow. These three loves seem pretty simple, but in practice they challenge our worldly ways, don't they? There's always something. I remember when I first decided I wanted to turn my life over to Christ, there was always a good race going on somewhere, and I love sprint car races. There was a good TV show on TV. There was always something, and I just thought to myself, Satan is tempting me to skip my service to God. And I've never forgotten that, because it still goes on today. There's things and reasons that we all feel that we would like to do, but, you know, they won't miss me at church. You know what? Everybody at church will miss you at church, and most of all, God will miss you at church. And in my limited observation, these three things can pave the way to commitment to God's plan, and God's plan always works. God's plan will never fail. We might fail. Our works might fail. Many things may fail us, but God's plan will never fail if it's instituted like he's asked us. These three commitments are in the right order and will form their own distinctive lifestyle for any Christian and for any church. You hear so many times that in order for us to gain more members, we need to have a gymnasium. We need to have this. It will bring the world in. It's bringing the world in for the wrong reasons. The world needs to come in because they want to worship God. And equally important, steadfast commitment to these three priorities will keep Christians and churches from getting into endless numbers of areas where they don't belong. Think about Jesus' statement, "Let the dead bury the dead." Seems very limiting and confining, doesn't it? And maybe unnecessarily severe. But I think that's what we do sometimes. We drift off the path and get into these debates and things that we don't need to be involved in. And the devil knows how distractions will get us off balance. It'll get us upset. It'll put us in a negative mood and maybe even cause us to be hostile. And he'll lure us into substitute commitments every time if he can do it. And most of all, if we let him. First is loving God. Second is loving each other. Third is loving the world. These three priorities can keep us challenged and occupied in a healthy, positive, and aggressive way. The church exists primarily to minister to God, to gather around Him and to serve Him, to obey Him and love Him, and then enjoy each other's company as we all go down the same path. God is worthy of our focus, and He is worthy of our attention. He is worthy of our obedience. And He is worthy to have us continually focus on Him forever. Our church must deliberately revolve around Him. Each family must make Him priority one in the home. I feel like our family is very close. I don't know of anybody, even in my distant relatives, that don't get along and don't enjoy each other's company when we get together. But that can't be first. It can be important, but it can't be first. Each family must make God priority one in the home. As believers, we must realize we are either centered on man or we are centered on God. There's no alternative. Either we're worshiping and praising God, or Brother Mark mentioned last week, we're giving Him our leftovers. If I have time, I'll be there. If I don't have time, I'm sorry, God. This is more important. Is anything in our life more important than God? There is no alternative. It's either worshiping man or worshiping God. Absolute personal loyalty to God must take precedence over anything and everything else. And all our ultimate loyalties must be centered on this single point. We must be focused on God. Jesus demanded as an exclusive priority that a person center his life, loyalty, evaluations solely upon God. That's what the truth is all about. That's what we read in the Bible. Every other concern must flow out of or fall in behind this main concern. So we need to set our priorities as a Christian. It is loving and serving God first, loving one another second, and going to the lost world thirdly. But we must not lose sight on our number one focus, and then all the other things in our life will fall in place. I've said many times when I was in the world, and I drove a truck, so you know I was around some pretty bad people. I don't consider the trucking industry bad people, but there are some people out there that don't think too highly of themselves and the people around them. And I seen them people go to church on Sunday and then do the same things I would do through the week. And I always said, at that point in my life, if I was ever going to accept God, I would accept God. I would not accept God and stay in the world and do the things the world does and think that that was okay. And I hope you don't do that either. because God is the number one priority. If you've accepted Him and if you've been baptized in Him, you said, God, you are the number one priority, and I will serve you, and I will work in your church for you, and I will uphold your truths, and I will follow the path that you've given me. So we need to remember that. The baptism is very important. It's one of the most important things we do because we confess Christ is the Son of God. But there's works to be done after that. When I accepted Christ, I didn't know all the stuff in this Bible. I didn't know I had to do all these different services in the church. But you learned them after baptism, and you learned that you wanted to participate and take part. And I hope that all of us who have been baptized and been a part of His church truly feel that way, that we do want to be a part of the church and we do want to work for the church. And there's a Labor Day meeting coming up, and there's a lot of work to be done. Most of us who participate in that meeting will be very tired after a couple days. But it's very rewarding, very uplifting to hear those speakers and to hear the fellowship we have one with another. So this morning, as we close this lesson, we offer that invitation to anybody who is outside of Jesus Christ, who has never accepted Him, never been baptized. We offer you that opportunity, or if you have other needs that the church can help you in, we ask you to come forward as we stand and sing Dave's closing hymn.